This is the MSO News Sports Weekend Football Scoreboard Show with all the high school results and so on. We have the scores posted on this post, but now we'll talk about it. Well, I'm Bill Newell along with Marty Smith and John Squires. I'm not sure if Tim Kearns is going to pop in here in a moment or not, but we'll see if that happens. But gentlemen, things are beginning to solidify over the weekend, and our two broadcast games featured Lynn Classical and Lynn English, both undefeated, both on the road, but winning big road games over the weekend. And all the details of those games are kind of up on our website already with the posts and so on. But I don't know if either one of you want to share any thoughts on either one of those two games from the weekend.
Well, I think I'll start, Marty, if you don't mind. We did the English game yesterday. English came out very strong, had a great performance, really a complete game. As Coach Carroll said, their special teams, their offense, their defense. Their defense really shone as much as their offense playing well. Israel Bagura had two touchdowns and 150 yards rushing. The other running back, I can't think of his name right. He's right in front of me now, Bill. Ski Gasson, I think it was,
yep,
right?
Yeah, right, that's him.
He had almost 95 yards. So he almost had 100 yards. And, of course, Matt Severinsen, two touchdown passes and ran one in, really controlled the offense, and they did control the game. But as far as I see, the key to the game was really the English defense. Swanson was driving, losing 15-0, and they had a big pass interception, which was, that stopped the drive in the end zone, and then they just took over from there. Prince Brown intercepted it. They returned it to they put the ball out at the six-yard line, then they drove the length of the field and scored right at the end of the half, a big touchdown. So they played very, very well, and they jump into the forefront of that Tier 3. They look like they're going to be very tough to beat. They have Salem next week, and if they beat Salem, they'll finish up with Winthrop, I think, and they should win that division. So my perspective there is, and I know Classical played very well, and you guys can talk about the Classical game, but English is certainly running cylinders right now, and it's probably the best performance they had, definitely, for the entire season so far. And they are improving. They have some big games down the road, and as we talked about, Bill, that English-Classical game is shaping up for beauty on Thanksgiving morning.
Yeah. Marty?
Yeah, the Classical game that we saw on Friday night was just in one way it was a war of attrition, and in the other way it was just a matter of Classical grinding Danvers into the dust. The game was 7-0 with Classical at the end of the first quarter, and that was highlighted by Keith Ridley in a 38-yard touchdown run. He was clearly, I'd hate to go this way, head and shoulders, because he's a very tall guy, the best player on the field. But there's just so much size on Classical side of the football, both offense and defense. They just kept running at Danvers and running at Danvers and running at Danvers. Danvers scored in the second quarter, but it was Taj Coakley. He batted down a punt. If Classical has a weakness, it may be in the way that their punting team played on Friday night. But other than that, they had all aspects of the game covered. But anyways, Coakley batted a punt down 28 yards in for a touchdown, tied the game coming into the half. But Coakley was later hurt, not intentionally. It was not a chippy game. The game had some attitude to it. You could feel that there was an edge in it because both teams, but particularly Danvers, they were just getting physically abused on the field.
You know, it's funny you said that, Monty. If you remember the week before, I think it was the week before, when Classical did beat Gloucester, they completely dominated the first half to the point that it looked like it was going to be a blowout. They just ran the ball down Gloucester's throats and used that power game you're talking about, and their size to their advantage, and Keith Ridley just commanding the offense. But then the second half, Gloucester showed its true colors and came back and fought back and almost pulled the game out at the end. But Classical seems to have a lot of the same attributes of English, where both teams like to run. They have power. They have some size. Their offensive lines control teams, and that's what they've been doing so far this season.
I thought for English, they played a really pretty much a complete team game, the first time they've done that in probably a long, long time. Speaking of Gloucester, Marty, how about their one-point win at Saugus Saturday, 26-25?
I think that probably surprised a lot of folks. Gloucester having to pull it out like that. I think that some of the observers might have thought that might not have been that close.
Yeah. Absolutely. And
Go ahead, Bill.
No, you got it, John.
Yeah, it's funny you talk about Saugus. Saugus is slowly, very slowly improving. They gave English a game for a while. Obviously, haven't read much about it or done any research on it, but 26-25 against a good Gloucester team, they're certainly getting better. And they do have some winnable games coming up, down the road, and I think they are getting better. So that, to me, was the biggest surprise of the weekend. And also, English beating Swampscott so handily, even though it was not quite as bad as the 36-7 score, but they certainly dominated. And I was a little surprised about Marblehead, too, because Marblehead beat Marlin 23-6, and I don't know whether it was a case of them not stepping on the pedal or the metal or whatever, but Andy Clough had another big game for Marblehead, 103 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. So as the smoke starts to clear, guys, we got Marblehead and Danvers in a big one coming in 2 weeks. Marblehead has Gloucester next week, which is a big ball game for them, even though it's non-league. We have Classical playing Somerville next week, which is a big ball game that could decide that Tier 2 championship. And English, as we said, right now, if they beat Salem next week, then the driver's seat in Tier 3.
I know in taking a peek at the Cape Ann League, Linfield won big over Manchester Essex, Newburyport Ipswich posting wins, and Friday night it was Masconomet beating Peabody on the road in Peabody. So Masco's and Hamilton won. I'm really kind of stepping up there, and they're in two different divisions, I'm pretty sure, because Hamilton Wenham's in the Baker division. But those two teams, Hamilton Wenham and Masconomet, are doing what they need to do right now, and both getting some notoriety there, I think.
Yeah, Masco, since that Melrose loss, has won 3 in a row, 4 in a row, so they're playing very well. And Matt Montanelli. I have to look closer.
I'm sure that's not how you pronounce it.
I'm using linguistic. Bill, you want to jump in that one?
No.
But anyways, Matt, the quarterback at Linfield, had 4 touchdown passes, and they're 5-0, and they're steamrolling people. So, and Hamilton Wenham, as you said, is still undefeated and playing well. But Linfield and Hamilton Wenham and Masco seem to be the bright pictures in the Cape Ann League right now.
All right, Marty, anything else you want to touch on from over the weekend?
Going back to the Northeastern Conference and. Again, the new alignment this year, and I'm understanding it and appreciating it a little bit more in this off-balance schedule and protecting the Thanksgiving Day games and all of that. But if I were to look for a matchup this season that we're not going to get to see because of this alignment, would be to see Classical and Marblehead. That would be a game that I think a lot of people would pay money to go see at either stadium.
Yeah.
I think that would be a tremendous matchup if we were ever able to see those two teams as they're constructed today, to see them play each other. And it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, Monty, it's a funny thing you said that. They scrimmaged each other in preseason. And Marblehead barely beat Classical in the first unit. The first units play about half the scrimmage. And Marblehead beat them, I think, 3-2, and they said it was a pretty good scrimmage, but Marblehead had the upper hand. But when the backups and some of the other players played, which are very valuable pieces in this puzzle, because Marblehead's had to play a lot of their backups who are now starters, and Classical certainly is integrating everybody, Classical boom out of the water. So it would really, really, they beat them 3-0. So it would be really interesting. That would be a very good matchup. You're right about that. And they are two of the premier teams in the conference.
You're talking about the backups, and here's that story that we've been talking about the last few weeks. Andy Clough is like the third or fourth starting quarterback that Marblehead's had, and this is the fourth or fifth position that he's played on that team this year.
Yeah.
That's right, exactly. And when we say backups, we mean maybe not the top tier people, 4 or 5. So a lot of those backups may be in starting positions right now as the season goes on. We know that, how youngsters get better and better, and you're right about that. Andy Clough had 200-yard games, and he's their fourth quarterback. And I heard that Chris Galley, was back and ready to play. And obviously, they went with Coach Ridliff, went with Clough. So That would be a great matchup. Mm. But I'm looking further even down the road, and I know I'm pushing a little bit. And once again, I'm always the Thanksgiving guy that really likes that stuff. That classical English game. I'm looking at their schedule, and if everything goes away and they keep winning, that could be a classic. It's been a very long time since those. I don't know if ever those two teams have gone into. I'm sure they have into Thanksgiving undefeated.
And then you have the coaches' decisions too about the playoffs. And what do they do?
That, you're right.
How do they stand? And
do we sit people? Yeah. You're right about that.
But think about
it's different because you don't have the Tuesday night game, and you're already into your playoffs, and you have much better visibility as to where you're going. But even so, the coaches have to have that in the back of their mind. But I think that classical English game is going to be packed Thanksgiving morning, regardless.
But think about this one too, guys. You have the possibility of English and classical both hosting home playoff games
Thanks
this year.
Showing up, Jimmy.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it.
So
hey, no problem. I just happened to take a quick look at the time. I've been trying to straighten out some travel plans, but I'm in the conversation.
All right, so Tim Kearns has just joined us here, and what I was just saying, guys, is that think about this. You got classical and English possibly, maybe likely, hosting home playoff games this year. And they haven't even made the playoffs the last number of years. So there you go with the records that they'll be ending up with. So we've touched on a lot of things. John, I want to go to you and have you just kind of comment. The prep won on Friday night with their new quarterback, so to speak. Not brand new. He's not but it's his second start, I think. Matt Crowley. And then you've got Fenwick losing, but you got St. Mary's winning big with Calvin Johnson's four touchdowns that he scored. And he's playing quarterback this year for the Spartans as they they beat was it Arlington Catholic? Yeah, Arlington Catholic last night at Manning Field.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, we saw Matt Crowley's really coming out party when they played Everett, and he had two touchdown runs and a touchdown pass, if I'm not mistaken, and now he had, I think, I caught a quick glimpse of it. I think he had another 200 yards passing, and he's starting to turn the prep around. A lot of courage by Coach St. Pierre, realizing that he's the quarterback of the future, and Mr. Yaron, their quarterback, they moved the wide receiver, very unselfish player, and playing safety for him, too. We probably all saw the little piece in him saying that he wants to win and he wants to play college football, even though he's a possible Major League Baseball prospect. But they're winning over there, and they believe that what they're doing over there with Matt Crowley, the quarterback, sophomore quarterback, will give them a chance to compete for that. They got BC High, who's undefeated. They got Xavierian down the road, and they got a couple big games coming up. As far as Calvin Johnson, he may be one of the most premier backs on the North Shore. He had four touchdown runs, and he runs out of that wing tee offense that Coach Durgan runs, and the quarterback runs the show. Really, the quarterback takes the ball, and he can either run, he can pass, or whatever, and Calvin Johnson just tearing that league up. I don't think anybody's going to touch St. Mary's, to be honest with you. And then you talk, about these teams that are moving quarterbacks around. Andy Clough over at Marblehead, who's really doing he's like a Roethlisberger type quarterback, 240 pounds, 6'7". Are you kidding me? A high school quarterback, and he's running over people. And you see some of the other quarterbacks really leaving their teams, like Severance and Montatello over at Linfield and so forth and so on. But I see down the road some big games coming up, such as St. John's Prep and BC High. We got, as we said last week, Classical's got Somerville coming up, Marblehead Danvers, and then, of course, the Thanksgiving. I just want to leave you with one final thought. You talked, Marty, about how coaches decide whether they're going to rest kids for the playoffs or whatever. I was talking to both coaches and some people in Swanscott and Marblehead, and they, both coaches, I got information back to me that they would rather play all their players and win that game almost than winning the Super Bowl. There's a lot of passion between Thanksgiving Day over in Swanscott and Marblehead, and there's not that there's bad feelings, but there's a lot of intensity out there.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens when it comes down the road to if they have to make those type of decisions.
All right, let me bring Tim in here. Tim, we've touched on a bunch of things, but is there any thing from the football from this weekend that you want to chime in on?
Well, just to John's point about playing on Thanksgiving, Would you want to be the kid who sat out Thanksgiving and your team lost and everybody's looking at you that we didn't win that particular game? As John said, that's the focal point of almost every school's season, and everything else that happens after that becomes gravy. And just one, the peer pressure, and then the having to deal with the kids who, from the team you played that you didn't play against them, you know, and there's so much put into that level of discourse between kids today that I don't think kids would want to deal with that. I don't think coaches would want their kids dealing with that. You have to play on Thanksgiving. I haven't seen the paper yet today. What was the outcome of English Swampscott?
English 36, Swampscott 7.
Wow. Yeah, it kind of sounds like to me in a way a duplication of Friday night with Classical against Danvers, a bigger, more physical team, overwhelming a good team, a very quality team that maybe just didn't have the size to match up. Marty and I were talking during the course of the game about Classical wearing down Davis, and you could actually see that going into the fourth quarter, that Classical began to exert itself a bit more at that time. And having to deal with that big quarterback, 6'3", 215, and really, really, really became a problem for the Danvers defense. Early on, after the first couple of games, I was saying, well, watch out for Thanksgiving because this could be a really rip-roarer. So the people in Lynn want to get tickets early to see that particular matchup. Classical and Ingers, again, just continue to amaze me how well they're playing. And not that they're not making mistakes, but they're not making critical mistakes at critical times that have cost them games in the past few years.
All right, well, I think it's about time to wrap this thing up. We've got Tim Kearns, John Squires, Marty Smith, so I'll just shoot it around quickly, each one of you. We'll go Marty, John, and Tim for one last thought.
I'm having a great season. It's been very entertaining, and I'm looking forward to the next couple of weeks.
Well, you know, the games, as they get further into the season, become more and more meaningful, so the level of intensity is going to pick up, and hopefully we're going to be able to bring those really key matchups to the folks out there.
I'm pretty impressed with both of the Lynn teams as well as Marblehead, but I'm looking forward to see English and what they can do next weekend against Salem. And as we said, Thanksgiving's going to be here before we know it, gentlemen, and we have some great matchups down the road, Gloucester and Danvers, Marblehead, Swampers, Glasgow, English, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm looking forward to the mad rush to the finish line as we continue our MSO coverage on sports football.
Yeah, and just one thing to add on to what Tim was saying, I probably wouldn't have a bigger weekend coming up than the one we just had, that we were at both the big games, as far as I'm concerned, the 4-0 teams, and now we have two 5-0 teams out of the Northeastern Conference in Lynn Classical and Lynn English. So that'll do it. That's Marty Smith, John Squires, Tim Kearns. I'm Bill Newell. Thanks so much for joining us on our weekend North Shore High School Football Scoreboard Show on MSO News Sports.